In the beginning of chapter 39, we left off last time about talking about rousing the different types of love, one through meditation and one through the natural means. And leaving off on the natural means is where we pick up over here, the beginning of chapter 39, because we're going to be talking about angels, that angels are an expression of a natural fear and love of Hashem. With this now we'll understand how is it that the angels are called with the name of animals and beasts, as it says, Pnei Ariel Yamin, etc., Pnei Shar Mehasmoel, that in the Markava, in the chariot of Ezekiel Yecheskel, it says that the face of the lion was on the right side and the face of the ox was on the left side. The first question you could ask, the Rebbe asked this question, what do we care?
Yeah.
This is Sefer Shalbeinani. And the purpose of Sefer Shalbeinani is to teach a person how it's very easy for you to serve Hashem.
Right.
It doesn't make me feel any better to know that there's these entities out there that have this natural love and fear which are constantly serving Hashem.
Right.
How does that make me feel better? I'm going to start emulating an angel because you're telling me about them? I'm not. Okay. So then what is this whole business of comparing souls to angels doing in Sefer Shalbeinani?
Okay.
So the main emphasis is in the love and fear. That even a malach, he's going to say later on, a malach, an angel, has a specific level of love, and that's what it does. This angel, which is from the camp of Mechoil, has a specific level of love, and this angel from Gavriel has a specific level of fear. This is natural innate to them. And we, comparing this to the end of chapter 38, we can for sure achieve what Malachim can do. And we have a plus. What's the plus? I was going to say later on.
Right.
The source of Malachim is in the external part of the Sefirois. And the source of the Neshamais, of the souls, is from the inner part of the soul, of the Sefirois. It says we're learning now, chapter Simon 20 in Geras HaKadosh. Are you paying attention when you're doing Tanya Chitas this week?
Uh-huh.
It's really tough stuff. So, he says over there that the angels are the product of Zivug Neshikin, and the Neshamas are the product of Zivug Zun. Mm-hmm. He says Malachim are created by something called kissing, which kissing is just sort of like a secondary connection.
Okay.
And from the secondary connection, you have these lesser entities,
okay,
which we call Malachim.
Okay.
So their life force is, first of all, it's a lesser quality,
right, okay,
life force,
right,
and there's a whole lot less life force going into a malach, into an angel, than there is in a soul.
Right. Okay.
There's a discussion in the Gemara, how big is an angel? So the answer is it's a third of the Olam, or it's three times the size of the world. However big that is, that sounds really big, but there's no discussion in the Tal and the Gemara, how big is a neshama? Because a neshama doesn't have any size. So qualitatively and quantitatively, if we could say just a little chump change angel is able to serve Hashem with a natural fear and love, so us, ki karav alecha hadavir ma'od b'fichol v'av chalasos, is very easy in your heart and your mouth to do it.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
So why do the angels have, being that they're spiritual beings, why do they have a dimension at all?
Who says that spirituality is dimensionless?
Okay, I hear. I just hadn't.
You hadn't thought about it. It's not three dimensions.
Yeah,
obviously, when you have to say that it's a third of an olam,
yeah,
it's shlish olam, and they don't know if that means that's what came down through tradition. Shlish. So does shlish mean a third, or shlish mean three times?
Does that mean it's two-dimensional? Maybe?
An angel's body is comprised of the elemental roots of water, air, and fire.
Water, air, and fire, right.
Correct. There's no earth involved in it,
right,
which would give it absolute physical dimension.
Right.
That's why if you ask an angel what's the matter, he says nothing.
Yeah.
And the...
That's bad.
Yes. And the... when you talk about size of world, that would have to mean an indication as to... in relationship to, say, an expression of godliness.
Mm.
Like it says, for example, that 2,000 years before the world, the Torah was created.
Right.
Okay. You've heard that expression.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So before the world was created, there's no such thing as time.
Right.
So there's no such thing as years.
Years, right.
So what's 2,000 years before there were years?
It's a quality of something.
So what is it? It's a qualitative thing, yes. Right. Because when you say 2,000 years, this is in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer.
Right.
That it says the year word shana means, comes from the word shina, meaning changes or levels.
Yeah.
So there's 2,000 levels.
Okay.
Okay. The word aleph, 1,000, also means teach.
Uh-huh.
Okay, as the expression alefacha chachma, alefacha bina, I will teach you wisdom, I'll teach you understanding.
Right.
So we say the 2,000 levels is 2,000, 1,000 levels of chachma, and 1,000 levels of Bina.
Bina.
That's what the Torah is, and that was existed before the world was created.
Uh-huh.
So now we're talking about a Malach being Shlish Olam. We're talking about it being a third of the world.
Right.
It must be something of a representation in a similar way, but I've never seen exactly what that representation
uh-huh.
is.
Okay,
because it's obviously it's not spatial, because then you start getting into the old polemic as to how many angels can dance on the head of a pin.
Yeah.
And the answer to that is none, because angels only have 1 foot. They don't dance, they sing.
Right.
So,
right.
But Catholic theologians were arguing about it for centuries.
Right, yeah, that's fine.
You know, so we can't, we're not going to go there. You know,
better do, yeah.
Okay, so then.
You're celibate.
Lefisha Einam Bali Bechira. Because why are they called angels? I mean, why are angels called animals? Bottom line, what's the big difference between an angel and, excuse me, a human being and an animal is reasoning.
Yes.
Now, what does reasoning give us that animals and angels don't have?
Cognitive.
The ability to choose right and wrong.
Right.
Okay, if you can't think and come up with logical progressions,
right.
You can't make a decision based on is this a right decision or
correct.
A wrong decision.
Moral, ethics, etc.
Correct. So all that stuff is unique to human beings.
Human beings.
So we call an angel an animal because it is stuck on a specific level. It has no choice as to its function in the world. So we call it an animal. Hmm. Can a dog stop being a dog?
No.
Okay, can a dog imitate some other animal? I'll be a dog, but I'm going to imitate a cat.
No.
Not really.
No.
No. So, whereas a human being can change. A human being can go from being a Wildechai to being a mensch.
To be, yes, indeed, yes.
Va'ahavasam hi tevius lehem. The love that an angel has is natural to them. That's why there's a great advantage of tzaddikim over angels. Because the resting place of the righteous is in the world of creation, and the resting place of the malachim, of the angels, is in the world of formation. What does that mean? First of all, you have neshamais that are on all levels. Moshe, Rabbeinu, all the big tzaddikim, we call them neshamas of Atzilus.
Atzilus, yeah, right.
Okay, and then he talks about the Alter Rebbe. As soon as we start talking about anything as such a thing, there's an entity of a neshama. So the Alter Rebbe introduces the concept of a neshama of Malchus, of Malchus, of Asiya, of Asiya. The lowest of the lowest levels, all the way down to the very bottom of Asiya Ruchnias.
Hmm.
So what does it mean when he says that the resting place of the Neshamas is in Bria? The starting off point for Neshamas to come into this world is really found in the world of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, he's going to talk about this later on, that depending on how a person served Hashem in the course of their lifetime, is going to determine their Gan Eden. If a person just did mitzvahs, so his Gan Eden's in Asiya, in that world of action, because that's how he worked out of action. If it's in the war, if he worked out of a natural love and fear of Hashem, which is innate within him, then his Gan Eden is in the world of Yetzirah formation, because this is how he worked. This is what his reward is. Mm-hmm. He's going to talk about this idea about Yetzirah being natural natural and being emotional soon. Mm-hmm. The person that served Hashem out of an intellectual development, an intellectual love and fear, and involved with intellectual meditation. So then this is already a higher process and relates to the world of creation. Right. When it says a person who is a martyr, for example, where's their Gan Eden? Atzilus.
Atzilus, yeah.
They're called Kadeshim.
Right.
Okay, because what did they do? Their service to Hashem was not with their intellect. It was superseded intellect. Yeah. It was with their rutzite.
Right.
They didn't want to be separated from Hashem.
Right.
So the level, so in it, so we understand. So Atzilus is a world which is not separated from Hashem at all. So a person who acts that way receives such a Gan Eden. I don't recommend martyrdom at home, folks.
I mean, you know.
Even if you're thinking about, you know, like, you know, the end of it at the end. If I get to die a martyr, then I get to go to get Silas for my Gan Eden. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
Yeah, no.
So, but if a person is serving Hashem in an intellectual way, so he gets a payback, intellectual. As he's going to say later on in this chapter, that the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. However a person does it is the reward that they're going to get. So, he says in the note, B'hayastam malachim, normal angels are in the world of formation, in Yetzirah. Aval yesh malachim al yayin b'olam abriyah. But you have the higher angels, the ones that have the big names, the heavy shooters, those are in the world of creation. The ones that are referred to in English as the archangels. Arch meaning primary angels. Mechoel, Gavriel, Uriel, Raphael. Those are the four archangels. Are there other archangels? I never heard of any other ones. So,
I think Mount, well,
yeah,
Mount Moaz brings a few, but I don't know if there are.
Right, they talk about other ones. Set like Moshe when he went up to Har Sinai and he saw Samael and he saw Sandalphone and Matat. Matat he talks about later on in the next chapter.
Right.
You know, so.
But, maybe they're not art. Maybe they are. I don't know.
They don't come with titles and they've never identified themselves to me, so.
I think there's a tag on them.
Yeah, okay. This isn't Facebook. Tag your angels. That the Malachim El Yainim are serving Hashem out of an intellectual expression of love and fear. As explained in Raya Nehemna, Sham Shiyesh Shnei Minei Chayas. You've got two different types of Chayas HaKadosh, Tevim V'Sichlin. You have intellectual animals, and you have natural animals.
Animal animals.
Yeah, some animals are smarter, and some animals are less. So, but that doesn't mean even a Malach Mechoel, Malach Gavriel, considered the greatest of the angels, can't suddenly sit down and think, you know, I'm getting bored of this, what I'm doing right now, I'm going to go do something else.
Yeah.
No, they're stuck where they are, and they can't get any bigger than where they are. Even it is an intellectual expression in the world of Bria. Okay? So we were talking about before the various Gan Edens. So to understand martyrdom, that a person goes to such a high Gan Eden is because he didn't want to get separated from Hashem. So where's his Gan Eden? Is the world of Atzilus, which has no separation from God. There is nothing in the world of Atzilus which identifies itself as something being separate or apart from Hashem.
Right, yes.
As it says in the Semen Chof, which we're doing now in Tanya Chitas, that Ihu v'chayehu chad, Ihu v'garmehu chad, that in the world of Atzilus, even the kalim, which the kalim are the tools by which the lower worlds are built, are also elikus. There's nothing there that recognizes itself as a separate entity from elikus. Comes now in intellect. When a person, we're talking about serving Hashem intellectually, so we're not talking about mathematics and physics. We're talking about an intellectual understanding which spurs an intellectual love and fear of the greatness of Hashem. He's going to talk about this later on in this chapter. So that since it is that the person, when a person is engaged in intellect, you have a person who's what you call them a deep thinker. Mm. Okay, I've never actually met such a person. But you have a person who gets totally, completely lost in their thoughts. Mm. Okay, they lose themselves in their thoughts. So the... So in Bria, what's in Bria? Bria is referred to in the Kabbalah books that are brought down into Hasidus as being Efsharius Hametzios. Efshar means possible. Mm-hmm. Possible doesn't mean it's there yet.
Just this potential.
It's possible that there's going to be something that has to recognize itself as a Metzios. So there you have a Neshama. Okay, so a Neshama says, I'm a Neshama. But we just said before, how big is a Neshama? It's immeasurable. Mm. But it exists as a neshama. Mm. In Olam Habriya, my neshama is my neshama, and your neshama is your neshama. They're separate entities. And they're separate from Hashem. How big are they? They're as big as Hashem. They're infinite. Mm. As far as that goes.
Yeah.
You say if you draw a picture of a neshama, it would look just like Hashem. The malachim, okay, the malachim are on a lower level because they're coming from the external part of the Kalim, where they're going to represent themselves, they're going to be representatives of something more defined, because it's an external expression of intellect. It's an intellect with, like, say, a definition or a purpose.
Okay.
Something which isn't so ethereal, and hence we have those angels. When you're talking about now serving out of an expression of love and fear of Hashem, which is natural to us, so there, when a person says, I love. What are they putting first?
I.
Yeah, themselves.
Of course.
Exactly. The love is the second thing.
Right, sure.
You got to have me around first before I can do any loving.
Correct.
So now what I'm saying is what's most more important in the relationship when I say I love?
Is I.
Is, yeah, it's me.
Right.
I'm the most important thing. So that's why we say that this is more relevant to the world of formation. Mm. In formation, you got a lot of things going on. It's called mechsel mechsa. Half and half. Mm-hmm. Things are representative as specific, defined entities,
mm-hmm.
but still, it's still spiritual. Okay, there is no substance
right.
in the world of formation. It's only just a form.
Right. But it has identity.
Yes.
Right.
Very specific identity.
Right.
Whereas in the world of action, okay, so this guy did a specific deed
right.
without any feeling, and the specific deed has specific parameters of time and space.
Right.
And so therefore his reward is going to be in the world of the spiritual world. It is spiritual still, the spiritual realm of
action.
Of action.
Right.
Which is just about physical. It's not physical yet, but it's just about physical.
Mm.
No one's ever seen it from here, I can tell you that. Yeah. You gotta jump a little bit.
It's farther than a stone's throw.
Yeah, you gotta jump a little bit higher than and how high you could jump, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
To go look at it.
What, the Baal Shem Tov said there's 500 years between the worlds?
The Gemara, yep.
Yeah.
And that's not even talking about
of course
this. Okay.
Right.
But have it back in the note and back on page 188, four lines from the bottom and the narrow lines, okay. Three lines from the bottom.
Yep.
What's the difference between the world of formation to the world of creation? We said before that anytime you have fours, it's going to parallel with Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Olam Atzilus is going to correspond to the Yud, and Bri is going to correspond to the first Tei, and Yetzirah is going to correspond to the Vav, and Asi is going to correspond to this to the second Hei.
Mm-hmm.
So formation corresponds to the Vav. The Vav represents the six midos of Chesed, Gevura, Teferis, Netzachot, and Yesod. Six, so Vav having numerical value six, and the Vav being like a pipeline of conveying intellect down.
Hmm.
That's what the emotions do. They convey into the intellect, from the intellect into the emotions, in a downward motion, you might say. That what's an emotion? I'm taking this out. I'm extending myself on a limb over here, but it's a concretized intellect, because, as he said way earlier, chapter 4, if you don't know how good something is, you're not going to like it.
Correct.
You have to know about it in order to like it.
Right.
You have to know how horrible it is to hate it or be afraid of it.
Right.
If you don't know what this thing is, you're not going to be afraid of it. You're not going to hate it. So what is the emotion? The emotion is taking this idea, this knowledge,
right,
and putting it into user-friendly terms. It's something that you could do with it.
Right.
Okay. So that's what the, so what is it now? It's specifically an expression of the infinite emotions of Hashem. Okay, are expressed in the world of formation. Hmm. How many malachim are there? How many angels are there? There's an infinite number of angels. Even though it says in the Zohar that there is 153,000 troops of the angel Gabriel, 186,000 troops of the angel Michael, but it says legudus of ein mispar, to his troops there is no number. So he just gave me a number. It says, well, each troop of angels is innumerable.
Ah.
Okay, there's 186,000 levels of angels of kindness, but on each level, there's innumerable numbers of angels on that level, that specific level of kindness. So there is an infinite, how many levels of love are there? Okay, Yol Kahn, who's the Rebbe's Chayzer, wrote a sefer called Sefer HaErchin, which is an encyclopedia of Hasidic thought, and there's a whole book on the word Ahava, love.
Okay.
It's a whole book. Okay, and there he describes 63 different levels of love. Okay? He comes up very short because there's an infinite number of levels of love.
Okay.
Kind of hard to explain infinite anything.
Right, okay.
The fact that he was able to discern for the Chassid, it wasn't his fault. He's just an encyclopedia of going through stuff and seeing what other people wrote. So if the Rebbe only talked about 63 levels of love, that's all he talked about.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Can I get you more tea?
No, I'm fine. As it says in the Tikkunim in the Zohar, that the six spheres of from Chesed down to Yesod are acquired or settled in the world of formation. This then becomes the service of the angels constantly, day and night, and they never rest from standing before Hashem with fear and with awe. The Hainu Kol Machne Gavriel Shem is small of Eidosa B'machne Mechoyel Hu Ba'ava. That when we say fear and dread, that's talking about the camps of Gavriel on the left side, and the service of the camp of Mechoyel, that's out of love, that's going to be on the right side. As I think we told before the story, when the Mezuzah Maggid came to the Baal Shem Tov the first time, and he asked him to read from the Zohar. You remember such a story? The Mezuzah Maggid was an erudite scholar before he became involved with Chassidus. He was not just like a BT off the street,
right? Okay,
you know, needing to learn Aleph Beis. He was Bucky B'Kol HaTorah Kula. If there was something written down, he knew it.
Okay.
So he came to the Baal Shem Tov, and Baal Shem Tov said, cutting off all the details beforehand, did you ever learn Zohar? So he said, of course.
At least around the edge.
Of course I learned Zohar. So he took out the Baal Shem Tov took out his Zohar and handed it to him and said, could you read this, please? So he is reading this whole thing over there from describing the vision of Isaiah, that you have the throne of glory in the center, and you have the angels of Mechoyel on the right side and the angels of Gavriel on the left side. And there's 186,000 troops of water on the right side, and 156,000, I think you got it backwards, 183,186 or 186,183. But camps of fire angels, which are fear, on the left side. So Baal Shem Tov stopped him and said, could you explain that, please? So he said, okay, explain it. You go on different levels of fear and different levels of love, and what does it mean right, and what does it mean left? So Baal Shem Tov said, maybe one more time if you could elucidate it a little bit. And he's schwitzing. Okay? And he's just explaining everything he's got. He's just putting everything into trying to explain this piece of Zohar.
Yeah.
Baal Shem Tov said, something's missing. So he took the Zohar. He said, let me show you. And he started to read. In the middle, you have the throne of glory. So behind the Baal Shem Tov, the Mezusha Magid had a vision of the throne of glory. And on the right side is the Malach Mechoil, 186,000 camps of water angels. The whole right side of the room became flooded with these water angels. And on the left side is the angel Gavriel with 153,000 troops of fire angels. The whole left side of the room bursts into flames, and there's these angels that are singing, and these are coming down, and these are going up. And the Kisei HaKavod is in the middle. The Baal Shem Tov is just reading, and he's ready to die.
Oops.
And the Baal Shem Tov closed the book, and the whole scenario disappeared. And he said to him, now, do you understand what it means to learn? So with that, he decided, I think I better stick around.
Maybe I'll stay over
here.
Okay.
Okay. So the the fairy tales that other religions have of angels leading revolts and getting cast down to netherworlds and stuff.
What a bunch of garbage.
They took paganism and tried to incorporate it into forget about it. It's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah, of course it is.
Aber bei Eulam Abriya, Ma'ir Sham Chachmasu Binasu V'daitel Shel Einzid Baruch Hu. What do you have in Bria? So you have all 10 spheros in Bria.
Uh-huh.
You have emotion in Bria.
Right.
But the emotion is primarily intellectual.
Ah, uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. So what does it mean, an intellectual emotion? Similarly, also, the intellect in the world of formation is emotional intellect.
Mm.
Okay, each world has 10 spheros. So just which one's the main one? Which is the ones that got the light going on the brightest?
Right, okay.
So you have an emotional, intellectual emotion. The person is sitting and thinking and understands, this is supposed to make me love Hashem.
Yeah.
And I understand, if you ask me a question, do I love Hashem? I'd have to say, well, yeah.
Yes, I.
But it says there's a long way from the heart to the head.
Yeah.
And it's just not coming down yet there.
Right.
So that's called an intellectual emotion.
Right, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the primary thing that's going on in the world of Bria and creation is the intellect of Hashem.
Yes.
Okay. Shehen makor hamidos. And the source of the emotions.
Right.
Ve'im shorish lehem, and it is the root. The intellect is the root from where the emotions come. Kidisa b'tikunin, the eme ila maknana b'talas sfirin b'kursayah. It says over there in the Zohar that the supernal mother, which means which is referring to understanding, Bina is called a mother because it's a recipient from Chachma, and from there it develops into the emotions. So it's like a mother that receives from the father and then creates a child.
Right. Okay.
And so the six spheres. No, where is it? The aim of that the sphere of Bina is primarily in the intellectual spheres of Korsaya Kesora, which means the throne, is the world of Bria, Jewel of Bria. V'lachin hu mother neshamas tzaddikim oidei Hashem b'dechil v'rechim ha'anam shachas mina bina v'adas. The Gedel Zayin Tzay Baruch Hu. Therefore, what do you find in the world of Atzilu, of Bria, of creation? There you find the souls of the righteous who serve Hashem with a fear and love which comes from the intellect and thinking about the greatness of Hashem. So these are people who are relating in an intellectual manner.
Right.
Sha'avazu nikri ru'usa deli ibu kenal. And this love is called from the depths of the heart. Depth meaning how deep? All the way deep, so it's even out of the heart. Your love and fear are an expression of the external part of the heart. If a person's upset, their heart's going bunk, 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 bunk.
Right.
Okay? Because that is, you explain it, the adrenaline kicking in, all these things, whatever it is.
Right.
however you want to physically want to express it,
right.
But it's only happened because the guy is upset. There's an intellectual thing going on over there.
Right.
That's what's spurring this thing on,
yes.
That the heart should behave that way.
Right.
That's why in Chassidus, there is such an emphasis on Mayach Shalit Al Halev, the brain ruling the heart. Because, really, if you're talking about just pure emotion, what do you call an entity that's pure emotion? He said it before, at the beginning of the chapter. An animal.
Animal, yeah.
So who wants to be called an animal? Nobody wants to be called an animal. We all want to be called men.
Got a ways to go.
Welcome to the club.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I just had a story pop into my head and pop out, so maybe I'll remember it, maybe I won't.
It'll come.
So this is called the expression of Ru'usa Deliba from the depth of the heart, which supersedes the emotion, which is talking about how deep, going all the way back to the intellect. From Ru'usa Deliba Nasa Levushal Neshama Ba'ilma Briya. And from this depth of the heart, since a person is relating to Hashem intellectually, so this becomes now a garment for the soul in the world of creation. Because ultimately, what allows the neshama to experience any realm in the creation spectrum depends on how it's dressed, so to speak.
Hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
If it's 105 outside and the sun is burning brightly, a person's going to go out sort of like in a garment which is going to allow him to
breathe a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Okay. He's not going to go out in his woolies. I hope not.
Well, once.
His garments are going to be more thin so that he can at least. Well, he's not going to go out with nothing gone because he's going to get burnt.
Burn up. Yeah.
Okay. So this is what's happening with the neshama. So neshama in Bria needs a thin garment.
Yeah.
It's not getting any, it's getting no garment, because in no garment it would just lose itself.
Right.
Too much of a garment, it's not going to be able to be receiving whatever benefit it can.
Yeah.
Whereas in the world of Yetzirah, the formation, so there, that's like going outside when it's 25 below.
Yeah.
That there, you better put on your woolies and your down coat and whatever else.
Whatever,
so that you can go outside and experience it.
Right.
Okay, people actually enjoy going out during the winter.
Yeah.
They have all those winter sports.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Yeah, so. And my mother believed it was very healthy. She used to wrap us up in these blankets and stick us in the baby carriage and put us in the backyard in the middle of the winter. And that's where we would take our afternoon naps.
No kidding?
Yeah, no kidding. She said it was gesund. It's healthy.
Now, here's the truth of the matter. Years ago, I did concrete work. For about 8 years. I never kept, I would not, if I got a cold, the minute I went out in the winter, that next day to work, I'd get over the cold.
Yeah?
Yeah, because
the viruses all got killed.
Exactly. Exactly. Working in the cold. So, there's something to it.
Yeah. I don't know about my other siblings, but I get colds, Baruch Hashem, very rarely.
Yeah.
Okay. If I get a cold once a year, it's like...
Yeah, that's rare for me.
This is my once-a-year cold.
Right, exactly.
It usually comes at the most inopportune time, but there's never a good time to have a cold. And then my wife, when I have to take a day off and go lie in bed, my wife is like freaking out because I never do it.
Right.
Okay, anyway. Ru'usa deliba nasa levushin l'sham v'ayin l'avriya shuhu nikra gan eden. And that becomes that now is called Gan Eden Elya and Kiddel Likam, as will be explained later. That's the higher Gan Eden, because what's happened now is because this person relates to Hashem in an intellectual manner, so his reward is an intellectual way. That's called the Gan Eden, which is in Bria, in the world of creation, which is experiencing Hashem in an intellectual way. Now that we're in this world, this physical three-dimensional world, and we're sitting and thinking, and we're trying to do whatever we're trying to do, so however much you're going to try and accomplish and do, is you're going to be stuck in three dimensions.
Right.
But what you're able to accomplish will reach those higher levels. That's why it is, as we say, though, he's going to say in the next couple of lines, the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah.
Right.
However you are performing that mitzvah and attaching yourself to Hashem, that's how you're attached to Hashem.
Right.
So this person now didn't experience what the real intellect was when he was sitting there and thinking and meditating and, you know, developing this palpable love for Hashem and going and doing. But in Gan Eden, he'll see what it was that he was accomplishing at an intellectual level, and he's going to go, wow. Yeah. And that's his reward for doing it in this world. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's why we say that the reward is, we don't work for reward, because what's reward? Reward is just what we did.
Yeah.
You know, we did this, and so there you get it.
Right.
So the Alter Rebbe said, I don't want Gan Eden Elyon, I don't want Gan Eden Tachtein, I want you.
Right.
I don't need the lower Gan Eden, the lower, I don't want any revelations, that's all it is, just revelation. I want Hashem.
I don't want stuff.
Kedisa b'Zohar v'Yakel, Ah, Hainu Dafke Neshamas Mamash, Shehenu v'Hinis Meichim, the godless Einzel Baruch Hu. We're specifically talking about angels, that they are the expression of divine intellect and the greatness of Hashem. But if you're talking about the lesser level of the lower level of the soul of the neshama of the tzaddikim, so recall back in chapter 2, he says every soul has levels. If a nefesh, a ruach, a neshama, sure, neshama refers to the intellect. Ruach refers to the midos.
Right.
Even a person who's quote unquote neshama, which is their the entire entity, is rooted in Bria as an intellectual expression, has a ruach. The ruach is going to be corresponding to the emotions.
Right.
And the nefesh is going to correspond to action. So that we were talking about before was the higher levels of neshamas, which we call the tzaddikim. Then in the next level down, you have the normal Joe, and also the lower level of the souls of the tzaddik, that they serve Hashem out of the love and fear which is concealed within the heart of general Jews, because we're Jewish, we've talked about in chapter 18, simply because of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we inherited this innate love for Hashem. It's in... it's there within us, and there's nothing we can do about it. Ain oil l'sham rak b'shabbos v'reish chodesh levad. The lower level souls, those people who are serving Hashem out of fear and love, which is naturally hidden in their hearts as a genetic composition, so their avodas Hashem does rise to the higher realm, the world of creation, which is like an intellectual thing, if they get a booster stuck to it. It's like, for example, Shabbos. You say Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, you say it here.
Right.
It'd be the same for any Yantif, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, etc. also. And other auspicious times as well. Because what the Shabbos does, what the holidays do, is they charge the neshama. So the neshama, everything on Shabbos is on a higher level than it was during the week.
Right.
Including a person's soul. So if a person is serving Hashem during the week out of a natural love and fear, even though he's serving Hashem out of a natural love and fear on Shabbos, but everything gets kicked up. So it's considered as though he served Hashem out as an expression of intellectual love and fear. And from there, we just said that. And there, the soul delights in God, and derives benefit from a ray of Hashem's divine presence. Because there is no intellectual delight unless, just to take it, he's got a lot of adjectives over there and adverbs. It's a long sentence. You get no delight out of something you don't understand. Once a person understands it, and however much they're able to understand it, is going to determine the pleasure that they have from it.
Sure.
If you don't understand this concept, you get no pleasure out of it whatsoever.
Right, it's zero.
So now that you're thinking about the infiniteness of Hashem, So how much can you think about the infiniteness of Hashem? Technically speaking, you could think about an infiniteness of the infiniteness of Hashem. But the fact is that our brains are limited in three dimensions, and therefore our intellect, which is enclosed in our brains, is also limited to three dimensions. But for all intents and purposes, is if you can get there from here. A person can touch the infiniteness. Milton Rebbe talks about it at great length.
I hear you.
But the Alter Rebbe doesn't deal with it. Yeah, the Alter Rebbe doesn't go there. He just says the tzaddik can get to do such and such, but we normal people over here,
We normal people.
Right. This all is aroused and is illuminated in the world of creation. And how is it that souls have the ability of rising higher than angels? Even though these souls are only serving Hashem out of a natural fear and love, and here they're rising to a higher level than the angels are serving out of a natural fear and love, and even a higher level than the angels that are serving Hashem out of an intellectual love and fear. That what happens is when a person has love and fear on a normal level, then what does that propel them to do? The expression God-fearing, the colloquialism, what does it mean?
It's an awe of God.
What does it mean in Texas? When you say a God-fearing person.
God-fearing person, it means
you're thinking too hard.
All right, I mean
it means a moral, human being who does the right things.
A moral, upright person.
Right. That's called a God-fearing person.
Okay.
Technically speaking, a person who is quote-unquote God-fearing would never do anything wrong. Because they have this respect and reverence and awe for Hashem, and understand that it's just a little pregnant doesn't go, you know. So a little bit wrong is wrong. There's no such thing as a little sin. I'll look for a good place to stop. Whether that is so now, what happens is that. Because of this person's fear of Hashem, this respect that he has, and his ability to control himself, what happens then is you have a subduing of the forces of evil, which is and clothes itself into their bodies. We do have a Yetzirah and an animal soul, a body, that all these things are derived from Klippa. But a person who is truly thinking about Hashem, or is truly experiencing a love of Hashem, which is even just natural, is going to say, you know what? That's just a bunch of stuff. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in pursuing godliness. So when that happens, when a person says, you know, I don't need this because I can't see how do I fit this into my service to Hashem, Hashem says, priceless.
Yeah.
Okay? Whether in the turning away from evil to conquer one's desire, lishvarim, and to break them. Breaking taivas doesn't mean breaking your body or doing stupid things. Okay, the idea, first of all, segufim, which is a self-flagellation.
Right.
Baal Shem Tov was very much against that because he's maintained you can't really do mitzvahs unless you got a body. And if you break your body, you're not going to be able to do mitzvahs. So it's counterproductive.
Counterproductive, right.
Okay, but then you have other people who do things to break their bodies, and that includes fasting and all types of things like that. You have people who are referred to as the Nitra Hasidim. They're into, I'm not even sure if they're Hasidim or not, but there's somebody who's like the Nitra Rav. You know, they have a yeshiva somewhere in Spring Valley someplace, somewhere in upstate New York, New Paltz. I'm not exactly sure where they have their center. Okay, but their thing was always to like break yourself, break your ego. And how would they do that? They'd walk into a bakery and say, can I buy a pair of shoes, please? So the person would give them a look like you just gave me right now. Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? This is a bakery.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, it's like doing things like that.
But
that doesn't do it.
No.
Okay.
If you're intellectually aware and you're doing it, and they give the reaction, all you've done is fed your ego.
Correct. Exactly. So what he wants to talk about breaking one's taivas is a person can work on themselves so that they really don't have a desire for certain things.
Whatever, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Us being like Bali Shuvas and being involved with things that were on the other side of the 613 commandments.
Yeah.
And turning away from that and saying, now, you know what? I really don't have any desire to walk into a treif restaurant. No. I don't care what they're serving.
Yeah.
It doesn't interest me.
No.
Have I broken anything?
Nah.
Not really. It's just that, but on one hand, I don't have that desire.
Yeah, well.
So have I done something? I did something. I don't know. It's probably through attrition more than anything else, but, you know.
Well, it's kind of like hitting your thumb with a hammer.
It feels really good when you stop?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Whether you're talking about turning away and doing turning and doing good things, I really don't feel like doing this, but listen, you know, this is what has to get done. I'm going to do it. So Hashem says, this is great. That this person has the ability of choosing something wrong and chose to do something right. That what happens is that the glory of Hashem is elevated throughout the entire spectrum of creation. He talked about this way before in chapter 33. Like the advantage of light coming out of darkness, as mentioned above. And we talked about it at great length above. And we're going to stop here. We're on page
91.
The Hebrew is Achtarosan, and the English is the first paragraph, however.
Yes.
To be continued. Very nice.